On the block, on demand.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk and ESPN Radio 97.7 at 100.1. This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
Welcome back. You're on the block, ESPN Radio, twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Just waiting. Wait for it. It's 444. If you've been hurt in a car, it's time to call William Matar. 444-4444 is the number. Before we get into hot takes here, Ace producer Jordan found the audio. So this was the moment. It was in February of last year, and we're talking to Ben Grew, and I'm like, something's going on back there. I'm pretty sure it's the wooden spoon hitting the pot, but we tried to get to the bottom. Ben, I got to know. So it sounds like you're up to something in the background there. Are you woodworking? Are you making dinner? Are you taking the garbage out? What's going on, buddy? You got me intrigued. What's going on behind the scenes there?
I'm cooking a spaghetti sauce.
I was going to guess that, actually. The way I heard, I just know that sound when you're scraping the pot.
Hey, Brent, I don't cook, then. You got me here. I'm right in the middle of it.
Well, you got to save us some, then. We'll come over for dinner. I'll bring the wine. How about that?
All right.
That a baby. Thank you, Ben. Thank you for joining us even while making dinner. Best of luck down the stretch. I know we'll catch up soon, but thanks for your time today, my friend.
All right, anytime.
Thank you, Ben. That was Ben Grew last year. When I'm like, I know that noise. I know it. It's that wooden spoon hitting the pot. Let's do some hot takes.
We've got a hot one for you.
Oh, you're hot.
Why, thank you. So are you. And I'm not afraid to cry. So hot. So hot it hurts. Yes,
man, it's hot. How hot is it? It's so hot, I poured McDonald's coffee in my lap to cool off.
It's time for hot takes on the block.
So at 444, you know the deal on this show, right? But it's 445, and we still have not heard from Pat in Syracuse. He's giving me the silent treatment. I don't know if he's mad at me because we got a little argument on the show the other day. I have never begged for a caller on this show more in my life. But I want Pat to take his victory lap. Maybe he's being humble, doesn't want to sound, you know, too over the top and how right he was. Maybe he's like, I don't know, working or something like that, air quotes. Come on. He's not doing that. So if you are out there and you know the legend, Pat in Syracuse, you know who you are. If you are listening, not the other Pat in Syracuse, the Pat in Syracuse. Come on. Let's go. Bring it. I'm ready. I'm ready to take my medicine. You were right. That Joe Cadore backcourt did work. It did work. I don't know. There might be some hurt feelings there from the other day. I went at him pretty good. Not going to lie. But I am willing to admit when I am wrong. He wants me to grovel on the air. I will do that. So, Pat, if you're out there, give us a call. Take your victory lap. If you know Pat, come on, Dro and everybody that knows Pat out there, text him. Get on him. I don't have Pat's number. I was going to text him myself. I thought I did, but I do not. I called him out on the social media. Come on, let's go. Let's go, Pat. Got to take your victory lap. In the meantime, the AFC Championship game approaching. Now, I'm not really sure how to feel about this as a Bills fan. Like, it's one of those things. Like, Eric Dievendorf's a perfect example. God love him. When we rooted for Eric Dievendorf, we loved him, but he's the guy everybody else loved to hate, right? It's like when you watch Duke, like Woj and Greg Paulus and those players that just irritated the heck out of you. Who was the guy that was there? Grayson Allen, right? But if you're a Duke fan, you love him. Josh Norman I would put in that category, and Josh has been a great addition to the Bills secondary, but Josh can, and he can talk, and he can get some bulletin board material going. I don't know if this quite qualifies as that. I did get a chuckle out of this clip from the Rich Eisen show today.
Do you guys right now expect to see Patrick Mahomes on Sunday, Josh Norman?
Honestly, if we do. If we don't. It ain't gonna stop no show here.
But in terms of what that almost got me to not take my glasses off because I need to see this also to hear it. So you're not at all discussing, hey, if we, you know, do you think Mahomes is going to play? That's not even a conversation amongst you.
Look, man,
right now,
like I told you, it's our next opponent. It's our next opponent. We're gonna, you know, go through the proper channels that we regularly go to during the week and game plan and get ready for our next opponent. So if he's out there, he's out there. If the other guys, the receivers, the tight end and the running backs, they out there, we're going to scout them too and what they like to do best. We don't put nobody over nobody else. That's for sure. Not here, but you know, our mindset is to go win the game, and they keep opponents and their targets, the ones that are their bell cows, got a plan for them. And whether he's there or not, I can't, you know, we'll see.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. We'll have to ask Matt Fairburn about this later in the show.
Honestly, if we do, we do. If we don't, we don't. It ain't going to stop no show here.
I like that mentality. We're playing the Kansas City Chiefs, not a man. He's a machine. He's a man, not a machine, I should say. The Drago line. He's not a machine. He's a man. Patrick Mahomes is banged up. He's hurt. Not put aside the concussion, the nerve pinch, whatever he had. That guy's foot is injured. There's something there. I kind of like that approach, but at the same time, don't poke the bear, right? Like, just kind of keep that humble, hungry mentality. Go out there and kick their butt on the field and not give Patrick Mahomes that added spring in the step. Can somebody please motivate Josh Allen in a similar fashion just to kind of balance out things in the universe?
That's hot.
I would appreciate that. Phillip Rivers is the latest contestant in the Is He a Hall of Famer or Not game. Okay, now Phillip Rivers has the numbers to be a Hall of Famer. What Phillip Rivers does not have is that instant recall of, holy crap, he did that. Right? The difference between, say, Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers is Eli Manning has moments. He has the David Tyree moment. He has the Mario Manningham moment. Eli Manning beat the Packers in Lambeau. He beat San Francisco in a tough NFC championship game. Eli Manning threw a lot of picks. Eli Manning is a questionable Hall of Famer if you take out that little thing called two Super Bowl wins, right? But what Eli Manning has is moments. Phillip Rivers does not have those moments. Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Fame quarterback to me. There are different paths to the Hall of Fame, and I'm going to give you an example, and it just so happened that Don Sutton passed away last night. I understand it's a different sport. Don Sutton was seen by some as a compiler, right? Well, if you stick around long enough, you're going to get 300 wins, and you're going to get the numbers. Don Sutton played over 20 years in Major League Baseball and never missed a start due to an arm injury. And this is, you know, in the day when, you know, guys would go out there and throw 110 pitches and would be out there every fifth day and would have, make 35, 40 starts, not what the fragmented baseball situation has become in this day and age. You win 324 games, you win 324 games. You say that like that's a bad thing. That he competed against the best in the world for 20-plus years and was amongst the most consistent and best of the best, right? Cal Ripken did the same thing. Cal Ripken showed up for work every day, but he was one of the best shortstops in the game. And Cal Ripken's got moments in his career, right? That's what separates you. Don Sutton didn't have quite the moments that some, air quotes, compilers get. Some people look at Donovan McNabb and say, that's, you know, his numbers are very similar to Jim Kelly. But there's somewhat of a discussion about McNabb being a Hall of Famer. Why? He doesn't have the ring. He has moments. He played in championship games. But when I think of Donovan McNabb, the standout moment on the field is probably 4th and 26, or he threw up a lot, right? Like, you need that shining moment. But Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Fame quarterback. Oh, he's just a compiler. You say that like it's a bad thing. The guy stuck around in the most physically taxing, violent sport in the world, led his team to the playoffs, a number of times, won playoff games, and has the numbers. So to me, he's a Hall of Famer. I completely get the argument he will probably have to wait because he doesn't have that gleaming moment. If anything, when you think of Phillip Rivers, you think of that. I was tweeting it during the Bills-Colts game last week. I'm just waiting for that Phillip Rivers pick, right? It's coming, right? But he's a Hall of Famer. On that note, we'll break. We'll come back. We're going to talk some more hoops. We're going to talk to Matt Fairburn coming up. We're going to go on the blind side. Pat, where are you at? Come on, Pat. Now I'm begging. I am begging you to call and take a victory lap on this.
WTLA North Syracuse. WSGO Oswego. W249BC Mattydale. W261AC Oswego. WTKWHD2 Bridgeport. ESPN Radio. This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
That it is, friends. Welcome back. Hello. Happy Wednesday. Great to have you. Coming up later this hour, as Matthew Fairburn is going to plot the road to victory for your Buffalo Bills. My Buffalo Bills. Our Buffalo Bills. Over the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll go on the blind side. We will certainly hear more from you throughout the program. 437-7644. Now, you're all welcome on this show, as always. Brent Axe Media on Twitter. The Twitch chat is flowing and going as great as can be. But there is an audience of one that we want on this show. And that is the legendary Hall of Fame sports talk radio caller, Pat in Syracuse, because he needs to give me my medicine. He needs to take a victory lap. He needs to acknowledge what he said on the show the other day, because pretty much what he laid out happened last night. Okay? So, Pat, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if you're at work. I don't know if you are indisposed in other ways. Usually it doesn't prevent you from calling, but for today, he's making me sweat a little bit. And if he's doing that, then I don't blame him. I really don't. He's enjoying this. He knows I'm begging him to call. I'm going to give him the floor. Don't get all humble on me, Pat. Come on now. Come on. We know you're not humble. Come on now. Take your victory lap. I'll give you the floor to do it. I was a little harsh on Pat the other day, and I was wrong. I was wrong. But that was what made the difference last night. Now, we talked a bunch about Kadari Richmond in the first hour, not that we can't do it in this hour, but that was a big, big difference in that game last night. Here's Jim Boeheim discussing how they ended up with three guards. You know, essentially Buddy was at the three at times, but you know, you had a three-guard lineup for most of that game. And by the way, I will take my medicine. I was wrong in my discussion with Pat the other day, but what I did say is it can work with all three of them in some way, shape, or form. And last night it worked with all three of them on the court. Now, that was assisted by Alan Griffin having a rough game. But that was my point. You have three guards. Find a solution to make it work for all of them because they all do something that you need out there. And we saw that last night. Now, did Miami contribute to that being a team that's maybe not as – look, they beat Louisville on Saturday. I think that was partially due to Louisville's 3-of-20 three-point shooting, Isaiah Wong going completely off the rails with 30 points in that game. But Syracuse played much better defense last night than they had in previous games. They were moving the ball. They were moving their feet. They were moving on defense. Wong was a non-factor in that game. Syracuse hit its threes, as Buddy and Joe certainly did. And we'll get into the COVID thing and kind of that factor and what Syracuse does from here coming up. But Kadari Richmond made an instant difference. You could just see it. You could feel it. It made an impact. We discussed Jesse Edwards and the impact he made on that game. But my whole point through that was, if you think the best lineup in the backcourt, and I was willing to at least see how it would go. I was just wondering when the opportunity would present itself. Well, it did last night. It absolutely worked in that game, in that situation. But my point through all of this is I don't want to grab a guitar and sing Kumbaya, but make it work for all three of them because that's who you got, and you are going to succeed or fail with all three of those players having a role. Right, go. This is my squad, and this is who I'm going into it with. And that was my point through this whole thing. So, on that note, here's what Jim said about all three guards playing a significant role last night.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. They were key, and then we had Buddy at the three when we really got going there, and that's when we took the lead. We put the three guards out there, and Jesse and Q, that was a good lineup. Kadari made some really good passes. He got in the lane. His defense was exceptional, but he got into the lane, made some really good passes, got the ball to open people, and, you know, we made shots.
Another one from Jim this time on Kadari Richmond. Let's hear that. Come on, Mr. Computer. Here it is.
He's long. He anticipates well. And, you know, he's just a natural. He's fit in and, you know, has really figured out where to make his gambles and make his plays. And, He's got a real good instinct for the game, and he's got a good instinct for penetrating. He's just, you know, he's got to develop his shot over time. If he has a lot of time, he can make it. He has to change his ball position on his shot over the summer and be able to get it off quicker. And because when he gets there, he's got a good release. But he's got to change his mechanics, and that's going to take the whole summer. But he's got a good feel for the game. But at this level, you know, you have to be able to make a shot. And right now he's struggling to do that in practice and in the games.
That's the big thing. Kadari can score in other ways. He can penetrate. He can drive. He can't shoot the ball. Jim was saying a little bit in that clip, but also in the press conference last night, they're going to have to spend an entire offseason kind of working on and refining his shot, which that's the thing we got to keep in mind here is freshmen come in and they're not all out of the box refined players as much as they've played at, you know, prep schools, gone through. Oh boy, it's running the tip of my tongue. AAU ball, right? All those things. They don't walk on campus all top 10, 15 picks, ready to just walk their way in the NBA after they serve their 1 year. They're not completely rounded out projects. Some players come in, you're like, man, he's ahead of the game. He looks, you know, he may be 18, but he plays like he's 23. Those are the exception, not the rule. You see the talent, you see the potential, you see what has to be refined, but they don't all come in complete packages. And I think we tend to forget that. I think we tend to forget they are freshmen. Jesse Edwards was great last night. He's a sophomore. You would expect him to be a little more developed at this point than maybe. Let me rephrase that. That's not what I meant to say. What I mean is, by this point, you think, okay, what's the process of becoming a player that can contribute in certain ways? But big men take longer to develop. They're like offensive linemen in football, right? They take just a tad longer. But what we saw last night is what he's capable of. What we saw last night is what he can contribute. And see, that's the thing, like with Jesse in particular. I think what the thought process was, can he come in and give Marek a little relief? Because Marek was just being grinded to the bone. Marek was playing 39, 40 minutes a game, doing everything he can at that position, but you could just see, boy, like I'm surprised he just doesn't collapse at the end of games. Just surprised he doesn't just, like, you know, fade away, just melt at the end of games. So was Jesse at the point where he could give you, and I don't want to put a definitive number on, but 8 to 10 minutes a game, just not only to give Marek some relief, but to be productive. And last night, the answer was yes. Now, could Jesse do that against bigger, more physical teams, more refined, better teams? Well, we're going to find out. Because I think, and I'll ask Coach about this tomorrow, but I think Jim is a little more confident to say, okay, maybe you can handle X amount of minutes in a certain amount of time. Not to say he's not going to struggle. He's not going to have some of his weaknesses shine through. I think he's having trouble catching the ball. He was great in the zone last night. Doesn't mean he's going to be great in the zone in other games. Young players, they get frustrated. It happens. But I think last night was a huge confidence builder that at least they know. And that's the best thing you can get, is real, tangible evidence and confidence that at least we've seen it and we know it, as opposed to, we got to roll the dice and see how this goes. Last night, they were forced to in some ways. See how that goes. Marek gets into foul trouble. All right, Jesse, here's your moment. Go get him. And by the way, we don't have anybody else. So it's like that great scene from Airplane. He's like, I just want to let you know, good luck. We're all counting on you. Now don't crash the plane. Is he here? Is he here? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I am thrilled that our friend Pat in Syracuse is here on the block. Now, you will recall a couple days ago, Pat and I had a little passionate discussion on this show
That was yesterday, Brent.
That was yesterday. That's right. And as it's happening, Pat, as it's happening, I'm getting the tweets. I'm thinking about you. I'm like, okay, I got to take my medicine. So I turn it to you. The floor is yours. Take your victory lap because that's what happened. Exactly what you pretty much mapped out on this show is what happened last night.
Well, the funniest part was that my daughter got upset that you didn't think I liked Buddy. So that's the funny part.
My fault on that. That's my fault.
So I love Buddy. Here's what I should have said. When Cinnabon comes back, now this becomes an issue because everybody wants Quincy. He's one of the top 25 offensive players in the country. So if you have a center, whether it's Jesse Cinnabon, then you got Quincy and Morak. Now you got a big decision to rotate, right? Because Griffin shouldn't be really playing over Morak or a Quincy. So that's the point. Is when you now have that fourth player in the front court, you almost got to bump Griffin to the backcourt at times. And when I'm saying at times, 5-10 minutes, same thing with Buddy. We're talking 5-10-15 minutes. We're not saying put Buddy on the bench for half the game. Although, to me, my philosophy is this, Brent. If you're not tired, you're not playing hard enough. But the weird thing is, these are my other takeaways from the game, is Jesse, what they need him to do, he showed he can do it. Right. I mean, he doesn't have to have a sky hook in the Akeem Olajuwon up and under. He just needs to rebound. He needs to defend. And he needs to he has good hands. I mean, when he fills out, it's going to be fun. So here's the thing that I had a little battle with Steve on earlier. I really believe that the reason you need to have Kadari 30 minutes at the point and rotate the off guard and the small forward between, because I love Buddy at the three at times too, because if Buddy and Joe are clicking, let him go. Or Buddy and it's a good problem to have. I just didn't think it was sorted out right, and no one could figure out why. Why were Buddy and Joe thinking up the floor so much that we even had to talk about it? Because if Buddy and Joe had progressed from last year, no one would care. No one would care. Me and you wouldn't have even been talking about it. So,
and you brought up the Barama thing, which that doesn't seem to be anytime soon the way it's going. But when he is, you know, healthy and ready to come back, that'll present another good problem to have, as you put it. And now you throw the COVID thing into the mix, as we find out these guys were nowhere near 100%. Battling through it, healthy enough to play, but just coming out of that. So I think we got to be fair and include that in the discussion. But my whole point was, and I think this is where we meet in the middle, is there's a role for all three of them. Maybe it doesn't always balance out that this guy got this many minutes and this guy came out at this time. Last night showed that it can work. Now, I'm as curious as anybody, Pat. Does this work against, you know, it starts Saturday. Virginia Tech's a top 15 team. Followed by Virginia. That could be the true litmus test of how this all balances out. But you could just see Joe was relieved. He was free. He was like, this is what I do. And the confidence built.
For the first time all year.
Yes.
Now, Brent, let me ask you this. Would you be giving the keys to Kadari? Because to me, look, Joe is so much better of a player off the ball. And Kadari, I mean, my gosh. I mean, he came in and completely changed that game. And 8 out of 10 games, we're starting slow, and I think it's because we got the wrong lineup. Brent, I'll leave you with this. Go back to the Andrew White years. When I called you up the Andrew White year, and I said, Andrew White cannot play the two. He can't dribble, and he can't pass. And eventually, Jim slid him over to the three, and they started winning games. The offense clicked. Everything's clicked. Like, I don't have any of the answers, but I just want to see different experiments, and Jim hates the experiment. I'm glad he did last night. I'm fired up. Miami was a good team. Our KenPon numbers are up. Our BPI is up. The net is up. Everything is in place. Now we got to go out, and we got to win 3 out of the next 4, and that's a tall task to ask because bottom line, you just want to be involved in whatever format the tournament is in March. Brent, thanks for the time. And
I don't know
if I want to say good luck, Bills, or not.
Yes, you do.
I'll have to let you know
Come
Friday.
Come on. Hop on the bandwagon.
Friday.
Come on,
I'll
man.
I'll let you know Friday. Friday.
All right. We'll find out then. Thank you, Pat. Sorry I made your daughter upset. Here's where I look at it with Kadari. It's, you know, like the great scene in Ferris Bueller where they take the Ferrari and the dad's got the Ferrari and is like, that's his life. Like, you don't just hand that to somebody. You brought up the keys analogy. You don't just say, here you go, kid, you're my point guard. Like, I got to see it. I got to see that you can get behind the wheel of that car, you can handle that car, you're respectful of that car, you know when to change the oil. He doesn't even drive it. He just wipes it with a diaper. Kadari's starting to earn that, but that's not at the expense of others, right? Now, Griffin, you're not taking Griffin off the court. Bad game last night, worked out where Buddy was at the three for a lot, but Griffin can score. Griffin is coming into his own as a big-time player. Like, you don't just wipe him aside. It is a good problem to have. There's a balance there, but I think what we saw last night, opponent aside, right, it's fair to say, well, this is work against Virginia Tech. This is work against Virginia. This is work against better teams. Absolutely fair to say. Matchups aren't always going to go your way there. But, man, Joe looked like he was having fun. He was smiling, the gleam in his eye. He was on the edge of cockiness. When Joe's really playing well, like, he just has a look like, come on, try and stop me. Buddy obviously got back on track. Now, the COVID thing, I got to get a break in here shortly, but man, now that we know that was the case, and by the way, I'll probably follow up with this with Jim when we talk to him on the show tomorrow. Like, he had a comment last night, well, everybody expects them to do this knowing they had COVID. It's like, well, we didn't know that, right? We knew there was a pause. We knew certain players have gone through it, but you know, this stuff doesn't always come out in the fashion that it should, right? And medical information is private. We don't necessarily need to know these things, but to kind of like, hey, everybody knew that. No, we didn't know that. But now that we do, it makes sense. They were healthy enough to play and get out there, but for some people, it'd be like, oh, is that going to be the excuse now? Well, yeah. When you are actually sick with COVID, or sick in any case, in this case, COVID, but when you have fatigue, when you have symptoms, when you're sick, it does affect how you play, right? Like, that's the thing. How much it affected how they play the last, because they were, at least, air quotes, healthy enough to play, but who's truly 100%? Everybody's playing through some kind of bump or bruise or pain or fatigue or whatever the case may be. But that's absolutely a factor. It's like, oh, well, that makes sense. Now that they're starting to feel better, get into a rhythm. Last night, Joe's coming off the ball, getting open shots, a little more naturally. He's doing Buddy right back in his comfort zone. That's when it works with all three of them. Now, it started with Kadari. I'll end with Kadari before we go to break. To use the car analogy, like right now, I'd be comfortable like, all right, you can take the car out for a couple hours, but you better be home before dark. Am I giving him the keys to the car? Not quite there yet, but he's just, all he's doing is making a ironclad case with how he's playing to be the full-time point guard of this team. I mean, you can't deny that. That's what my two eyes are telling me, and it's what your two eyes are telling you. And we'll break on that and come back. Stay right there.
Thank you. Bye-bye.